May the Lord be pleased to bless us together this evening as we consider his word. And let's turn to the book of Psalms, Psalm 107, and we'll read verse 7. Psalm 107 and verse 7. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. This is a wonderful and blessed statement that has a direct relationship to every single living child of God. And all those who already, of course, have passed through this world and are now in glory, every one of them have proved the truth of such a statement as this. That the Lord has led them forth by the right way. The Lord never makes a mistake in his people's lives. They are always led by the right way. Sometimes, of course, we may not always consider it to be the right way. As we look at ourselves, we may perhaps be tempted to think sometimes the Lord's made a mistake. But the Lord never makes mistakes. And the Lord always brings his people by the right way. It may be a wandering way, it may be a strange way, it may be a difficult way, but the truth is it will be the right way. And the wonderful outcome is that if we or the church and the whole church of God is led in the right way, then they might go to a city of habitation. That means that we shall at last get home to glory. Now I know, of course, that perhaps in this particular chapter the reference is often made to Israel itself. And we know how they wandered about, didn't they, through the wilderness to be brought at last to that city in Canaan, brought safely there. But the Lord did lead them, and he did bless them, and he was with them, and he did not leave them, and he did not forsake them, and that's why they had reason, and that's why we have reason to exclaim in the same words that the psalmist did in the first verse, "O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy." I often think that perhaps the church of God are very backward in acknowledging the goodness of the Lord and that his mercy endures forever. Those who are redeemed, those for whom Christ has died, those for whom Christ has shed his precious blood, surely those are they that this refers to. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Well, may it be our continual desire and continual concern to acknowledge what God has done in leading us. Now, there are very many leadings. There are natural leadings, and of course there are spiritual leadings. And they both unite. Grace and providence do unite, because they are all part of the leading by Almighty God, that we might go and come to a city of habitation. So we have a great statement here, that and he led them forth by the right way. Well, if we think perhaps of the Israel of old, what did the Lord do? He led them out of Egypt. He led them out in a most amazing way. If you ponder the way that Israel came out, it was ordained by Almighty God. Pharaoh was sometimes half willing to let the people go, but he put conditions. But eventually, they all went out. The Lord let them, every single one of them, go. The Lord directed them, and Pharaoh let them go. And we read, and not a hoof was left behind. That means there were no cattle either left behind. Everything came out of Egypt. The Lord led them out of Egypt. But of course, their time in Egypt was a time of great trial and great temptation towards the end of their time there. Initially, of course, when they went down into Egypt by the invitation of Pharaoh and Joseph. It was a time of wonderful prosperity and blessing. But then things became difficult and more difficult and very difficult until the time when the Lord ordained that they should be led forth out of Egypt. And so they came forth with a high hand. Nobody was to stop them. Everybody, all the Egyptians, encouraged them to go. And so they came forth. The Lord led them forth. And then just thinking of natural Israel again for a moment, think how they came to the Red Sea. It was only a short time, wasn't it? And now they were hedged in. There appeared to be no way. The Red Sea in front of them, the Egyptians behind them. What was going to happen now? The first test of their faith. My friends, we perhaps foolishly think when we come out of one difficult situation, everything's going to be easy. But you see, very quickly, we'll find there's a recourse to have that exercise and that test of our faith. And so the Lord, he led them forth by the right way. They came to the Red Sea, and the Lord had to appear for them again. And he led them through the Red Sea on that dry land. What a wonderful deliverance it was. How much cause they had to praise and thank their God. And no wonder the psalmist says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." Well, we'll leave Israel for a moment and we'll just come to our own situation. And you may say, "Well, I don't think I've been in a place like that." Well, you may not have physically been, but you may have spiritually been in a situation like that. That you've been in Egypt. You've been in bondage. You've been held there by the devil. And you haven't been able to free yourself. And perhaps things have appeared to have got worse and worse. And there doesn't seem to be any possibility of being delivered, having any escape from that place of bondage. Well, how dependent you are, how dependent you would have been, perhaps, to be led forth out of your spiritual condition, out of the prison house. See, effectively, Israel were in prison, weren't they? It wasn't a building, but they were in prison. They couldn't actually get out. They were captive there. And so we have been. Perhaps we are in our spiritual state. We are captive. Well, we have been captive by the devil. And we haven't been able to deliver ourselves. We haven't been able to, as it were, escape from his clutches. And he's got hold upon us. And whatever we did, there appeared to be no way, no solution. Well, he led them forth by the right way. Now then, in the case of Israel, and of course, in the case of our spiritual life, there was that wonderful deliverance, and that deliverance was set forth by the Passover. What a wonderful sign that was. The children of Israel had to stay all those years to come to that glorious occasion when the Lord set before them the way of spiritual deliverance, as also, of course, the way of natural deliverance. Think of it, all those years, the Lord was gracious. The Lord hadn't shown that sign. He hadn't brought to them in that great way. There had, of course, been those sacrifices previously, but not quite in the same way. Until the appointed time when the Lord set before them the wonder of redeeming love. And that is really the same in our spiritual life. We are, as it were, captive and we're imprisoned and we can't free ourselves. We may be almost despairing. And then perhaps, as it were, the light shines, the glorious light of the gospel. And what is that? It's set forth in the face of Jesus Christ as the lamb slain. The wonderful picture we have in the Passover of the lamb slain, roast in the fire, and the blood placed upon the doorposts and the lintels. And where was the safety? Only under the blood. You see, Israel would not have gone out without the in that way, without that blood being set forth. And so it is in our spiritual way. The only way that you and I are to come forth is through the blood of the Lamb. As we see in the Lord Jesus Christ, all that we need to deliver us from that condemnation. A soul that sinneth, it shall die. But you know, to have set before us the glory of the suffering Lamb of God, who suffered in our place, so that we might go free. We read in the Gospel of John, if the Son therefore shall set you free, ye shall be free indeed. Now you see, when the Lord set forth that freedom to Israel, the devil couldn't stop it. And it's the same, my friends, in our spiritual life. When the Lord comes with power from on high, through the work of the Holy Spirit, to direct our hearts to view the suffering Saviour standing in our place as our deliverer, then there is that deliverance. There is that freedom. We've been set free. And what has occurred? The Spirit of God has led us forth by the right way. And when that deliverance comes, and when we know something of the blessing of that deliverance, then we shall realize why it was that we had to walk perhaps the thorny road, perhaps a difficult path, perhaps a rocky way, and it appeared to get more difficult and worse until the light shone into our hearts, that light of the glorious gospel in the face of Jesus Christ. And so you see, Israel were led forth. They came out of Egypt. And what a blessing for you and me, if that Spirit of God has brought us out of spiritual Egypt. We come forth. What a thing it is to be blessed with that. And I wonder tonight if you and I are able to testify the Lord has led us forth. Led us forth out of that state of spiritual darkness, spiritual bondage, into that great light, as we saw the light, and that light showed us the Lord Jesus Christ as the one thing needful. We were directed to him, and him alone. There was no one else that could suit or meet our need but the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the eye of faith, we looked up and we beheld the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And we looked up and we beheld the Lamb of God that has taken away our sin, so that we are set free. And what a glorious freedom it is, because it's a freedom that will never be taken away. We may perhaps sometimes find ourselves entangled with the things of the world, and the devil will set traps for us, but you see, he'll never be able to once again put us in that locked place of a prison house, because the Lord has set us free. And he led them forth by the right way. And then you see, we will not complain about the way. We will not complain about the Lord's dealings with us. We will come and say from our heart, as for God, his way is perfect. Well, it was many, many years, wasn't it, that Israel were in Egypt. But the appointed time came to deliver them. And the appointed time comes in the life of the child of God to deliver them and to show them the blessing of a glorious Saviour. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. And do we not bless the work of the Holy Spirit? Are we not thankful for the blessed work of the Holy Spirit to reveal unto us the Lord Jesus Christ in all his glory and in all his great wonderful work, and that finished work, to realise that the Saviour did not fail in that work his Father gave him to do. He fulfilled it so that you and I might be led forth by the right way. Well, here we have this great statement, and he led them forth. It was only the Lord that led them forth. I know, of course, that Moses was used, but it was God that led them. God directed them. And then you think of Israel again, come back to them, and think of they came out of Egypt, across the Red Sea, into the wilderness, and God appeared to them there. And he gave them the law. And he gave them the ceremonial law. And what did the ceremonial law do? It directed them to Christ. He gave them the tabernacle. What did the tabernacle do? Directed them to Christ. And my friends, it was the leading of the Holy Spirit. And what is it in his people's lives today? It's really the same as we may have come across the Red Sea and we come into the wilderness. Perhaps it's in the wilderness that God then shows to us something of the beauty contained in the ceremonial law and all those aspects that direct us to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we are greatly blessed today with the New Testament, and especially the Epistle to the Hebrews, that we have an insight to those glorious ceremonies which were carried out so very carefully and so very regularly in accordance with the holy law of God. But you see, there was teaching in it, and my friends, there's teaching in it for us today. As we may view these things, really what it is, it's food and drink to our souls. And it's really good for us to ponder and to meditate upon those great things which were set before us in the Word of God, showing us the ceremonial laws. Don't pass them by. Don't think they're of no consequence. Don't think they're now outdated. Well, they were there for a blessed means. And of course, Israel of old, they walked with that veil over them. They didn't see things clearly at all. But what a blessing it is for us today to have these things revealed to us. You know, as Christ has been revealed to us as our need, then as we walk before him, then we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ as the preciousness of the gospel is revealed to us. Well, I will not go through it tonight, but you can ponder it as you have the available time, and I'm sure you will have time to do it. Just read and ponder the Hebrews and lay it alongside the picture that we have in the Word of God that sets before us the tabernacle and how it was constructed and what went into it and all the sacrifices, how important they were and what they signified. My friends, there's food and drink to our souls, and if this word is true, he led them forth by the right way, it'll mean that you and I led into these truths for the edifying of our souls and for the honour and glory of our God, because these things do bring honour and glory to God as these things are revealed to us and we rejoice in them because we see Christ, and you know, as some new aspect, as it were, the light shines on some new aspect of the work of the Saviour. We rejoice and we bless God, and it's food for our souls, and we should be concerned that we are spiritually minded and are looking to find Christ in the pages of the Scripture, so that as we find Christ, Well, we bless the leading of the Spirit of God in our spiritual life, and he led them forth by the right way. And so Israel, they come out of Egypt. They had this wonderful revelation then that Moses received from Almighty God. But we need to be warned, don't we? We need to be warned. Israel rebels, didn't they? How many times? Sometimes how quickly Israel rebelled. He led them forth by the right way. You know, you and I need to pray for grace and patience. We need patience for the Lord to direct us and to lead us into all truth as it is in Jesus. Sometimes we're tempted to get impatient. Sometimes we want to move on at a faster pace. Well, the Lord has ordained the pace that you and I will walk in our spiritual life. And you and I won't walk in the same pace. Each one walks in a different pace. The Lord has ordained that pace for you and me, which will be good for us. It'll be the right way. And that right way will have this benefit. It will bring honour and glory to Almighty God. See, if you and I were to plan our life, plan our way, we wouldn't plan it the same as God would plan it, or has planned it. And we wouldn't, therefore, bring that honour and glory to our God, which his plan does. And let us remember that the Lord's leading always brings us in that way. Israel had to wander in the wilderness 40 years. We know it was because of their sin. We know it was because they disobeyed the word of the Lord. And again, these are instructive things to us. They were told to go up and to possess the land. The Lord had granted them the favour of sending 12 spies to go and spy out the land. And they went and they came back, and 10 of them came back with an evil report. And therefore, Israel believed the evil report. My friends, we need to be very careful not to believe the evil report. Perhaps the way ahead appears to be very difficult. You see, there were giants that the spies had seen, and there were, and all the towns were all well defended. And to actually proceed in that way seemed to be very difficult and seemed to be very hard, and therefore they refused to go. Now, the word was very true. He led them forth by the right way, but they rebelled. And if the Lord directs us in a particular way, the devil may say, well, you can't do that. There's giants in the way. And in any event, all those cities are well fenced and defended. You can't pursue that avenue. You can't go that way. It's just too difficult. Well, never forget the words of Paul. He said, go in the strength of the Lord God. And that's the way that you and I can go. Not in our own strength. Israel were at that time relying on their own strength. Apart from, of course, Joshua and Caleb. And Caleb said, we are well able. And of course they were, because God was with them. Without God they would have failed. With God they would succeed. Exactly the same in our lives today. My friends, without God, we shall fail. With God, we can do all things. Nothing is impossible. It's wonderful to have such a God. You know, by disobedience, we're really limiting Almighty God. We're really dragging him, as it were, from his throne. If the Lord gives us direction and a leading, we are to follow that way. He led them forth by the right way. And it's a way of blessing, and it's a way of true union with the Lord. Because God is with us. If we're not walking with the Lord, you see, we're walking away from God. And God is not with us. But if we are keeping close to the Lord and hearing his voice and following his direction, then we can believe it will be a way of good and the right way for us. And we have this promise here, and he led them forth by the right way. Well, we can think, can we, of many in the Word of God, but if we just think perhaps of the Apostle Paul, you think of his life. Was it the right way? Well, I'm sure we'd all say, yes, of course it was the right way. But look at what the Apostle had to endure in that right way. So many attacks, stoned, imprisoned, beaten, spoken against, much opposition. But it was the right way. It was God's way. And we should therefore not be surprised if in our lives today we find there are oppositions. We may not perhaps physically be stoned or beaten or put in prison, but it may be in a spiritual way. There may be those who, as it were, throw stones at us. And by that I mean wrong words, unkind words. And they're stones, and they're very painful, and they may knock us down and drag us down. But it shouldn't stop us. It shouldn't halt us, because we're being led by the blessed Spirit of God. We might be beaten. Yes, people may try and beat us, to afflict us, to halt us in our spiritual journey. Well, we're not to give up. Never forget, of course, that lovely and wonderful example of Paul and Silas in Philippi in prison, in the midst of great affliction and opposition. They were being led forth by the right way, and of course we know the result. First of all, they sang at midnight praises unto the Lord God, and the prisoners heard them. And then, of course, when the earthquake occurred and the Philippian jailer thought that they'd escaped, and he cried out and was going to thrust his sword into himself, and Paul cried out, said, "We're all here safe, do thyself no harm." And he then sprang in and cried out, "What must I do to be saved?" Oh, the wonderful work of the Spirit of God. Paul had to suffer, but it was the right way. He was led by the Holy Spirit, and it was therefore a time of wonderful blessing. The jailer and all his house were believers and were led forth and were baptized. What a wonderful occasion that was. Well, the Apostle, that was only just one instance in his life. There were many other instances, weren't there, when the Apostle had so much opposition. But I'm sure he did not complain. He told us, when he wrote to the Corinthians, of that path. But he tells us the Lord was with him, and he led them forth by the right way. And then you think, when he came to before King Agrippa, that wonderful pronouncement that he made before Festus and Agrippa, he wasn't fearful to speak forth the word of truth. You see, those things that he spoke, they could have resulted in him being executed more or less on the spot. But the Apostle was faithful, and the Spirit of God was leading him forth to declare those great and glorious truths, so that was spoken, that Festus said he was mad, and Agrippa said, "Well, I'm almost a Christian, almost persuaded." Oh, the great work of the Word of God in the heart of the Apostle Paul. And so we see that he was led forth by the right way. It wasn't the wrong way. Man would probably have said, "Well, how foolish you are, Paul. Why don't you stop preaching? Why don't you stop doing this?" No, you see, God was with him. That's the great blessing, isn't it? And that's the important thing, isn't it? If God be for us, who can be against us? Are we most concerned to be led forth by the Spirit of God in the right way, and to go in that way, not to hesitate, not to turn back. You see, if we set our hand to the plough, we're not even to look back. Not even to look back. Tendency is to look back, but don't look back. And again, we remember in Pilgrim's Progress, there was a pilgrim when he was escaping from the city of destruction. Did he look back? No. Put his hands to his ears, fingers in his ears, so he wouldn't hear those cries of him to return. And he ran forth crying, "Life, life, eternal life." Yes, he was running away from the city of destruction, and he didn't look back. My friends, what a wonderful thing it is when God gives you and me grace to leave behind the city of destruction, being led forth by the Spirit of God the right way. There is, you see, being led out of the city of destruction, leaving behind the things of this poor old world, being separated from the things of this world which only drag us down and drag us back. Oh, to be led forth then. Well, be a good thing in your life and my life that we have the wonderful evidence that we are being led forth by the Spirit of God. And we will have the answer of a good conscience. We will have the answer of the Holy Spirit in our hearts, that it's the right way. And I'm sure if you and I are children of God, we'll realise whether we're in the right way or the wrong way. We may make excuses to go the wrong way, but you know, when we're in the right way, we are encouraged because we have the evidence of the Spirit of God with us to know that it is the right way, and he led them forth by the right way. And you think of Joseph in his life. He was led forth by the right way, wasn't he? What a strange life he had. What a test of his faith he had. But he was led, and he was led in a very strange way so that he might be in that very prison where the butler and the baker were to have dreams which he was able to give the meaning of. And then after another 2 years, Pharaoh had a dream, and the butler then remembered his faults and told Pharaoh of Joseph, and Joseph was called before Pharaoh to be able to interpret his dream. And let's not forget that Joseph didn't claim any merit himself. He said interpretations belong unto God. And it's good when we desire to always give the honour and glory to God. When God leads us, when God directs us, do not kind of try and make out that we made some wonderful decision and wonderful direction, but to recognise and to appreciate and to testify that it's God that has led us in this way, that God has directed us, that God has helped us, so that we are led forth by the right way. Well, we know, of course, that Joseph was able to give that evidence and that description of what Pharaoh had dreamt, and then he was promoted to the second in charge of the kingdom, all in accordance with God's gracious and wonderful leading and planning for that man. Joseph could never have thought of such a path. And my friends, I'm sure as we look back in our lives, we would never have thought of the path that God is leading us in and God is directing us in. But the blessing will be if we can believe the truth that we have here. It was the right way that we might go to a city of habitation. What it means is this: our life is a preparation for our eternal home, for our eternal habitation. It's a preparation. And God knows what you and I need what preparation we need to be found ready and right to go and leave this earth and to enter in to that eternal place of glory. The Lord knows what we need. You and I don't. We may think we do. The Lord knows what we do need. And therefore he continues to lead us right down to the very last moment of our life. He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. And because of the gracious leading of our God, to be able to then praise him. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Well, can we testify of the work of God in our souls? The work of God. Just ponder that for a moment. Are you able to see the work of God in your soul? That leading by the Spirit, his work, not your work, his work, his calling, his direction, his blessing, his instruction, his conviction. It all emanates from the blessed and glorious power of the Holy Spirit of God. Have you and I the evidence then of the work of the Spirit within, so that we can join here and realize the truth of these words, that we are being led forth by the right way because of God's work in our hearts? The evidence of that work is not something that you and I can grasp naturally, but it's something that you and I can lay hold of in a spiritual way, because it is his work. And it's like this. God does that for you and me which we could not do for ourselves. That's God's work. That's not your work or my work. And when you and I are able to recognize God's work, how thankful we should be that God has ordained and guided and come to us and delivered us and enabled us to see the light shining and to look up and to behold the glory of that work of salvation. Well, you see, this leading will lead us to Christ. My friends, anything less than that will not be true leading. That leading will lead us to Christ. We may not always realize God's leading initially. We may perhaps find it very irksome because God may have, as it were, hedged up our way. Hedged up our way, you know. Jeremiah, godly man that he was, he tells us how his way was indeed hedged up. And he wasn't very happy with it. And he didn't enjoy it. But it was indeed the right way. He tells us, he has set me in dark places, as they that be dead of old. He hath hedged me about, that I cannot get out. He hath made my chain heavy. Also when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer. Now, was Jeremiah a child of God? Well, of course he was. But you see, the Lord was testing even Jeremiah's faith. And my friends, God tests our faith today. And so we should be thankful that we have a God who is hedging us, putting a hedge around us, so we can't go the way we want to go. We may not be very happy about it. We may have our plans, and we find those plans are being crossed, that we're being stopped in our tracks. One thing and another seems to come and halt our progress. And we find ourselves being annoyed. Well, it's good if we just step back and consider, is this God's hand upon me? Is this God dealing with me? You see, he was hedged about and he had a heavy chain. You can imagine, can't you? If you've got a heavy chain, you can't run very fast, can you? You know, you'd really be slowed down in your pace, wouldn't you? You may have got a plan and you want to rush ahead and do it. You may find you can't, because God's put a chain on you. Sometimes a chain is an illness. Yes, an affliction. And God places it on you, and it may be heavy, and you can't do what you want to. It's God leading you. It's God directing you. And even when you cry and shout, He shutteth out your prayer. It may be, of course, that you're praying for your will to be done. You're not praying for God's will to be done. And so he goes on, and you can read the third chapter in Lamentations, because it's a very expressive chapter. But then we come down to verse 22, we read, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not." It's because of His love toward us. There we have observed perhaps God's dealings with us in stopping us and in hedging up our way, and now we come and say, yes, it is the Lord's mercies. We are not consumed because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. And then he comes and makes a wonderful statement, and it's good, you see, if this leading of Almighty God brings us to be able to say this: "The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in Him." Is the Lord your portion? You know, we have to be honest, don't we? You may have to say, well, no, He's not. But it may be that the Lord's hedging you up so that He will be your portion. And then you'll thank God for it. "The Lord is my portion," says Jeremiah. Oh yes, "saith my soul, therefore will I hope in Him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him." You see, this is the direction, this is the leading of the blessed Spirit of God. He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. And so if we are to arrive safe at that city of habitation, it will be because the Lord has caused His work to appear, and He has dealt with us in His way. He's knocked us into shape. And some of us need a lot of knocking into shape. You see, some of us are very, or have been perhaps very rebellious against God's dealings with us. But, my friends, you won't stop the Lord working. My friends, it's good if you're given grace to submit to under the mighty hand of God, that we may be exalted in due time, casting all our care upon Him. God's dealings with us, so that we will be a prepared person for this city, this glorious city, this place of heaven. No one arrives at glory without being prepared. And this life is a life of preparation. It's a wonderful thing, isn't it, to think the Lord is so compassionate and so merciful and has such love toward us, that He is dealing with us in love to our soul, and He's preparing us for this city of habitation. How humbling it is to have the realization that Almighty God is leading us nonetheless. Just think of that. The God who created all things looks upon you and me, insignificant sinners of the earth, and is leading us forth by the right way, so that we might go to a city of habitation. To know that the Lord is dealing with us as sons and daughters of the Most High God. What a privilege. What a blessing. How humbling. as we think of ourselves, as the Spirit shows us, we are utterly unworthy of any favour. And to think, yes, this great, kind, gracious God has dealt with me, unworthy as I am, just like Israel of old, just like all the saints of God. I'm part of that happy family that God is graciously blessing. And it's in this way he led them forth by the right way that they might go to a city of habitation. Amen.